Your dreams are bigger, bolder, and more badass than the life you're living now, but something just keeps getting in the way. Join certified coach and former therapist Diane Wingert for the Driven Woman podcast. She'll show you how to get rid of whatever is holding you back so you can stop spinning your wheels and up-level your life. Get ready to hop in and buckle up. This is the Driven Woman podcast, and we're heading for the fast lane.
Well, hey there, Driven Woman, and welcome back. So many of the female solopreneurs that I have worked with over the last few years start our relationship believing that they cannot make a profitable, sustainable business doing something they're naturally good at. It's like we have this notion that it has to be hard, it has to be painful, and we have to like borderline hate it to get paid. Well, I absolutely used to believe that myself. In fact, I used to be proud of how hard I was willing to work. Now I think a much smarter and much more sustainable way to be self-employed is to build your business on your zone of genius. That thing that you do so well, you take it for granted. You do not realize how valuable it is, and you also don't realize that other people who don't have that ability would be happy to pay you to do it for them. So this week's episode is a client success story with Meredith Ferguson, who had that exact problem when she hired me. You see, she had two fledgling businesses that really weren't getting off the ground because she was dividing her time between them. And she really did not see herself the way a potential client would, someone who doesn't have the ability to build a beautiful, responsive, SEO-optimized website almost in their sleep. But she does. So I think her story is really relatable. The transformations that we accomplished during our coaching relationship together are ones that I think both of us are really proud of. And something that Meredith doesn't know is that I actually named my brand new small group coaching program, the Boss Up Breakthrough, because of my work with her. You see, every time she needed to double down, step up, do the scary thing, I would tell her, Meredith, this is a boss up moment. Here is the next step you need to take. Just take the first step. And she always did. So I thought, you know what? This is the problem so many of us have. We overthink things. We don't understand how valuable our natural gifts and abilities really are. And we make our business too complicated and too difficult. So I think this episode is going to really resonate with a lot of people. And if you are still on the fence about whether the Boss Up Breakthrough is your next right step this fall, maybe this conversation will help you decide. Here we go. So do you remember when we first started working together, one of our initial challenges was that you had a business, your Pilates business, and you also wanted to have a website and graphic design business. And at that time, you were holding on to the idea that you could actually basically start and run both businesses at the same time. How did that go when I first told you? Well, yeah, it wasn't exactly. I think you were not very happy with me when I said, if you have an existing business that's already going okay, then you can start another one, but you can't really start two successfully at the same time. And yeah, that was a little bit of an adjustment in attitude, I think, from the very start, wouldn't you say?
Yes, because I was so married to my Pilates business. And I was a little scared to go into the web design field, just because I didn't have an official certification behind me. So it felt like I was really giving something up, a part of me, because I really do enjoy teaching Pilates. I love seeing people change. I love helping people. So I was very resistant to give that part of my business.
And I think now we'll come to this in a little bit, but I think you found a way to be able to continue to run that business, but without having it suck up so much of your time. But there was no question that the confidence that you were not feeling about calling yourself a website designer and marketing yourself as a website designer, that was never going to happen if you didn't actually create and start marketing your website design business.
Yes, you have a very big point there. And I was lucky at the beginning because I didn't have to. I was just getting like word of mouth referrals. And the Pilates was an extension of a client base that I had working for somebody else. So it was the next step for me was to pull those clients over into the Pilates business. Yeah, it's definitely hard. It's a hard sell to say you want to give up something that you enjoy so much.
Well, and I think there's nothing wrong with continuing to do something that you enjoy, because as we talked about, even though it wasn't really a moneymaker, you enjoyed it. It fed your ego, we could say, because it made you feel good about yourself, because it was something you were good at. And so you got confidence from it. But it wasn't a real business in terms of being profitable. So the idea was...
It wasn't scalable at all.
No, definitely not. And also, I think one of the things you were reluctant to give it up was that it made sure that you were exercising regularly because of the accountability piece. But I think in terms of your website design business, you do market your business. I think now that we are so heavily focused on everything being online, everything being through the internet, through social media, I think a lot of people forget that face-to-face marketing and local marketing and referral-based marketing is still marketing. And I think that may have been one of your beliefs that we had to kind of adjust, because I think you felt that I don't have an audience. I don't have a platform. I don't have people clamoring to work with me. So how can I give up this local business for that? But when we shifted our focus to, well, why don't we start with your existing local network? I think maybe that took a little bit of the fear factor out.
Yes. And a lot of my clients actually have gone from one business to the other. I have quite a few marketing clients who have hired me to build their website and vice versa. So the Pilates community, as much as it is more of a hobby, I don't actually work out when I'm teaching, but I do get a lot of clients that way because it just comes up in conversation. I build websites and they say, oh, I need a website. And it's something that every Pilates instructor, small business owner needs this day and age. It's really critical.
Which was why that became sort of the pivot for you. Because I think if you had continued to believe the only way I'm going to be able to create a web design and graphic design business is start from scratch, give up what I already have, what I already know, what I already love, and then create an online presence and an online platform and start selling to people online, I don't think you'd still be doing it. I think when you realized, hey, wait a minute, like I'm making this too hard, which we both know we have a tendency to do. What if I just take the people I already know, the people who already know me, like me, trust me, and literally
have that rapport.
Yeah. But you know, I think it's something that people often don't realize is that you already have a relationship with them. And oftentimes when people are willing to buy one thing from you, they're willing to buy another thing from you.
Yes. I also think that our time together really helped me find my zone of genius, which I feel like when I did the exercise with you, I was totally off base. I was like, I like to go running with the dogs and the trails. And you're like, this is not what I'm looking for whatsoever. But I think through more client experience, strangers, getting my processes down and understanding how to more streamline my business processes on both sides of my businesses, I was able to understand how my superpower is my visual acumen, I would like to say, that I utilize in both Pilates and in web design. So it's not, I feel like it's not something you could train into me. I feel like I'm a very creative person. I take nice pictures. I have an eye for color and themes and the way to arrange interior design and websites. And even I apply it to body asymmetries. I can see those little tiny movements where mm-hmm. people are off just a hair. And same thing with a website. I use my eyes to say, what's wrong with this website? How can I make this website better? How can I make it easier to navigate? How can I make it prettier and dynamic? I just did an email campaign, the wow factor. I mean, it's a website should wow you. If it doesn't wow you, or if it doesn't load correctly, you're going somewhere else, period. And I feel like you helped me realize how that natural ability that I have can be utilized in both parts of my businesses.
That makes me so happy to hear, Meredith, because the reality is the whole point of focusing on, I mean, two of the big things that I focus on with every one of my clients, it's part of my framework, is knowing what your values are. And, you know, pretty much every coach, every life coach, every spiritual coach, a lot of business coaches do a values exercise. The reason why I do it is because most of the people I work with, including you, have shiny object syndrome. So as soon as the novelty, as soon as the newness, as soon as the sparkle and glitter wears off, then it becomes more challenging for us to stay with it. If we don't know why we're doing it, kind of like what our bigger why is, we're absolutely going to drift off into something else and something else and something else. We both have a long history of doing that. But when it comes to the zone of genius exercise, there's two reasons for that. And I don't even know if I ever really explained it to you, but understanding that there is something that you do naturally so much better than the average person that even if you tried to teach them, they would never do it as well as you. And everybody has that zone of genius. If you can build a business around your zone of genius, it'll be more easy. It'll be more scalable. It'll be more fun. But the hard part about that, and this, I want you to comment on this. I think the hard part about that is we tend to devalue the things that we do naturally well because we assume everybody can do it. It's easy right. for us. So it's if it's easy for us, it's easy for everybody. And if that's true, it doesn't have value. I would love it if correct. You would talk about that part of our work, because I thought that was really, really pivotal for you.
Yes. I think the exact time I realized that I was over delivering and that I had serious boundary issues, which I'm sure we're going to go into, was when I was doing a logo design for a family member and they were paying me. I at least got that part down. And I think I sent you the link and there was over 50 designs and I just cranked it out in an hour. And they weren't all stellar, but they were all good. And mm-hmm. you were like, whoa. And that's happened to me over and over again as far as logo design. I can't tell you why I have the visual ability that I do, that I can say this looks good or that doesn't look good. But I do have that. That's a huge strength for me. And I think that was like the pivotal point where you were like, you can't give people 50 different options. Like, first of all, whoa. Second of all, it's just these are all great. Like, what are they supposed to do? And try to like really value my time and understand that I could give them three options and they'd be good. So I've actually since put a clause in for my branding that I will do three revisions, not 103.
Yeah, baby. That's what we're talking about.
Right. It was an hour that all great designs, but it was like funny little, you know, quirks that they were requesting to get changed. And at the end of the day, to be honest, they didn't pick any of them. They picked one that I had done way, way, way back because we've actually circled back and I was like, oh, okay. Like this makes me feel like a little better and also kind of stupid for spending this much time and energy on it. So yeah, I think that was one of the most pivotal points when you actually told me, because I love working with you because you were direct. I didn't want to be coddled. I didn't need a mother hen to tell me everything was going to be okay. You're doing everything right. It's actually a really big pet peeve of mine because I'm very direct. So I really liked your style where you just be like, no, don't do that. You can't do that. Or don't you dare lower your prices. Or don't you dare give them a discount. There's no discounts. And I'm like, oh, okay. I need that direction because I feel like I was very much the automatic yes person. They'd be like, oh, can you do a little this for me? I'd be like, oh, yeah, sure. And then 2 hours later and 75 revisions and 3 days of my time and energy and stress goes into what was supposed to be like, yeah, just sure, it's fine. So I have kind of learned to like pause and also screening mm-mm. process that we added to my prospecting has been really critical because I don't want to get to that point where I'm like, oh, I really want to work with you, but you don't want to pay me. So
because that's not work. That's
yes,
volunteering. It's charity. It's volunteering. You know, this is a really good example because I just see how all of these things come together. Like if we do something naturally well, it's our zone of genius. It's our gift. We don't value mm-hmm. it. And if we don't value correct. It, we don't know how to get paid for it. So other people correct. Value it. Other people see that they don't know how to do it. And they certainly don't know how to do it to that degree and that quickly. So a lot of people ask and they ask for free or they ask, you know, everybody was getting the friends and family discount from you. A lot of people were bartering with you. A lot yes. of bartering. And the more we continue with that, the less we actually see ourselves as having what it takes to be a business owner. So some of the most rewarding work for me that we did together was the boundaries work, the values versus worth work, the yes. having difficult conversations work, and the stepping away from the discounts and the, well, if it only takes me a minute, I'll just go ahead and do it. I love that you've installed that pause button we talked about because the default yes is very strong in you. And all that yes. does is feed imposter syndrome because if you've been giving it away for God knows how long and then you want to charge for it, that just feels somehow bad or wrong or like something's going right. to happen to you. And you had to right. get through
and
all
I
that.
Think that's how my, and that's how my business started. I mean, I was basically doing all, I pointed out a need, a weakness in a friend's business and I offered to help. And then it snowballed to the point where my husband was like, you should be being paid for this. I don't know why you're not getting paid to do email campaigns, social media marketing and editing and streamlining the website. I was like, oh, really? It's just easy to me. And I like doing it. I'm the nerd who during the pandemic, I decided I was going to build a website and I built it in all the different platforms, tore them all down and then settled on one. So I learned
for fun.
Well, yeah, because it was interesting to me because I wanted to learn how. And I'm very glad I didn't listen to my husband at that point because he wanted me to hire someone to do my website. But I don't think I would be here realizing these things if I had paid
no
someone.
Way.
Yeah. So I use that to help other people. I have real life experience on all of the major platforms. So the people who aren't technical, I know where to direct them, how to help them, how to remove a lot of the apps on their phone and the notifications and streamline into one solid app that responds to all of them. So it was really good to learn what I'm good at and then also to really be able to market it and talk about it firsthand from knowing nothing all the way to where I'm at.
Yeah. And the truth is that, you know, just because it's easy for you doesn't mean it's easy for everybody. And doesn't mean that other people don't value it. I also think it's funny, you and I both have the same kind of eye. Like when I look at a piece of written work, any text work, I immediately see the typos. I immediately see the bad grammar. I immediately see that when someone's switching from present to past or third party to first party, and I can't even pay attention to the content. Until
you can't unsee it. Yeah.
But that yeah. is a skill that would make me a really good copywriter. And I remember that was because you do what you do really, really fast. So we created your screening process. We created mm-hmm. your customer onboarding process. We created right. all of your offers. We created your client records management system. And did I go through and review all of your written content and tell you how to edit it?
Yes.
So that's my zone of genius.
And I'm so glad for it because I'm terrible at grammar. But I think having those, they're called templates, having it already written out has made my life a lot easier because I don't have to think about how am I going to respond? How am I going to follow up? I already have it perfectly grammatically correct.
You're welcome.
And ready to go. Thanks. So I don't have to stress out it because it's a huge source of anxiety. My whole entire life is the grammar situation. So it's been really freeing to not have to worry about that at all. So thank you.
Yes, you're welcome. Tenfold. I have to do that for my clients because, you know, if I say, okay, this week we're going to create your opt-in and your email nurture sequence, and next week we're going to create your customer onboarding system, and the week after that, if you struggle with writing, we're not gonna get through everything we have to get through in 12 weeks.
Yes.
Here's something I really want us to talk about because I know it was a big struggle for you. You made so much progress and have continued to make progress, even though we are not actively in a coaching agreement right now. Boundaries and disentangling yourself from situations that no longer serve you. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I would like you to talk about that because this is a total boss up for you. And I think more than many of the other things that we did together, this really changed the way you saw yourself as a genuine businesswoman. So I would love it if you would share whatever you feel comfortable with about that. Hey there, it's Diane with a quick announcement. If you've ever heard the expression, what got you here won't get you there, I think this fits perfectly with the challenges that most female solopreneurs face after they've been in business the first 2 to 3 years. You see, the mindset and strategy that got you out of the starting blocks and into the game are not going to help you get to the next level. For that, you need a boss up breakthrough. And in my opinion, that is best delivered in the company of other badass female solopreneurs and facilitated by an expert business strategist, mindset mentor, and coach, yours truly. I've named my brand new small group coaching program, the Boss Up Breakthrough, for that very reason, and we're getting the party started this fall. I would love for you to join us if this feels like the next right step to step up your game and to boss up in your business. Make sure you get on the waiting list. There is a link in the show notes. Please add yourself to it, even if you think you may already be on my waiting list. I'll make sure you don't get duplicate emails. I cannot wait to get this party started. I hope you are planning to be there. And honestly, I feel like I should have Lizzo's About Damn Time playing in the background because some of you have been waiting for this for quite a while. So you'll get all the details really soon. Can't wait to get started. Add your name to the list. And if you want to know what it actually feels like to coach with me, have a listen to this.
I appreciate you so much, Diane. I think that what you're doing in the world and putting out there is just so unique and so valuable. And I'm just glad that the circumstances happened to align, that I came across your name. And it was at a time when I thought this will work. This is something I could use. And it's just been transformational. It's been wonderful.
Well, I have issues with boundaries. Hi, my name's Meredith. I have issues with boundaries. I'm a recovering boundary addict that doesn't enforce them at all. And I had problems professionally and personally tenfold. And I think understanding my part in the relationship and also your guidance on how to politely and courteously remove myself and or enforce my boundaries in different situations really has helped me get ahead in my life personally and professionally. My parents actually are one of those relationships that tend to push the boundaries where they're not very techie people and I'm their only child. So I am the go-to tech genius. When things break or mom's freaking out or dad can't get something to turn on, and I would spend sometimes an hour and a half to 2 hours troubleshooting them virtually via FaceTime. And it was for free. And same thing with teaching them Pilates. And I remember working with you and saying something, and you said, why don't you charge them? Are you not charging them? And I said, well, they're my family and I want them to work out. And, you know, I want them to have things that work and da, 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 da. And you said, there's no friends and family discount. Like, they should pay you. So I remember the conversation with my dad, because I think he was a little butthurt, because I said to him, listen, I can't do friends and family anymore. He's like, what do you mean I can't do, you can't do friends and family? And I think he even like hung up on me, and I called my mom back and was like, yeah, he was mad. Because he was like, what? No, we're family. There's no discount. I'm like, this is the price, sir. Like 10 sessions. This is what I get from everybody else. If you want 10 sessions for Pilates, this is how it's going to roll. And I kind of explained it to my mom on that level. And then when he circled back and he didn't have that like extreme reaction, he understood it. So now I'm getting paid for my, I call it tech tutoring, because it is, I try to spread the wealth of my knowledge, not just fix things for them, because I feel like that doesn't really do anything in the long run.
Well, and they then, don't stay fixed, right?
Right. Or they don't have, my mom is like that person who, instead of trying to fix it,
she just calls you.
Yes. That actually was a problem in my professional business relationships as well, where I was the go-to, oh my goodness, it's not working out. And it would give me so much anxiety. I would drop everything and try to troubleshoot it, fix it, calm people down, come to the rescue. But again, I wasn't getting paid for the time. I was also allowing to be called. So that was the other thing, is like, I can't do this right now. This is my time. So I think the boundaries have been, they're still a work in progress. I feel like I'm better at spotting when people try to push them versus actually always 100% enforcing them. But I'm out of at least one professional relationship where the boundaries have been totally, were not even a boundary, was so muddied with like personal and professional relationship, and it wasn't productive for anybody. And I was putting a lot of time and energy and investing a lot of emotional energy in it. And after creating a process, we've had a plan. We went through, you know, how I'm going to communicate this, because again, I'm direct. I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. It's not a feelings thing. It was this is not working for me anymore. And I need to get you to a place where you can be successful, but I need to move on. So we kind of planned it out. We had steps. You helped me with the emails. And I think it was honestly the best thing that's happened in a very long time.
Wow. Mic drop moment. I think what you're specifically referring to is you becoming aware that, first of all, when people take advantage of you, Meredith, you have a part in that. You're playing a role in that dynamic.
Yes.
You're not a victim of other people being needy and greedy.
I have to insert myself and say no. And that's part. And that, I think that was a very pivotal moment in our work together, because I feel like I've always heard you teach people how to treat you, but I never really got it. And this, I feel like that is boundaries 101. You teach people how to, if you don't set your boundaries, then people don't know where they are. So then when they step over those and you don't do anything, they keep moving. I mean, then they become nothing. And I think that's the problem I had specifically.
Well, and most importantly, when we think about, I mean, I love coaching on boundaries so much, because if we always think of boundaries as something that other people don't respect us because they take advantage of us, they suck up our time, they come to us with, before they even try to fix their own problem, they come to us and expect us to do it. But when we're really being honest, and it's one of the things I appreciated and respected so much about our work together, is even though it might have been a little bit uncomfortable, you weren't the least bit defensive about me calling you out on the fact that you volunteered for the job. Like, not only did people come to you and you always took that on, you offered, you volunteered.
Yeah.
And so
right. I
it's
created
like,
that.
Yeah. But I think something that made it possible And people always comment on how much they appreciate my directness and my no BS way of talking to them. And I think it's because I'm actually very warm, very funny, very friendly, very empathic, and there's zero judgment here. Anything you're doing, I have done it and probably once in a while still do. So I have tremendous empathy for the actual struggle, but I want my clients to see themselves as genuine businesswomen. I want them to know their value as well as their worth. I want them to have good boundaries. I want them to be profitable. And most of all, I want them to know what they're really good at and feel super confident in that. So if somebody says, you're too much, or no thanks, they don't go down the shame spiral and feel so much rejection sensitivity. I think that was one of the things you were having trouble with, not wanting to put yourself out there, not wanting to market yourself because you were anticipating the sting of rejection. Let's talk about that for a minute and how you've progressed in terms of anticipating rejection and dealing with it when it actually happens.
So I feel like I still shy away from it. It's not my strong suit to put myself out there and market my own business, which sounds really silly as a marketing or web designer that I'm terrible at doing it for myself. But I am
actually not at all. Working, it's very typical.
I'm working on it. It's a work in progress. I think our work together helped me put myself out there a little bit more. You encouraged me to like go to some networking events and start posting more on social media. And I think one of the biggest points that you put out there is, and maybe it was even a podcast that I listened to, that you said, I don't know why you're not putting your content out there, because there's all these crazy people posting total trash online that's untrue. They have no business posting it. They have no knowledge base whatsoever. But you actually know what you're talking about. So why aren't you sharing that? Like, it's not, I felt like I was, you know, not qualified to be making these kinds of big splashes online, which sounds silly, but it's true. But I think also you encourage me to kind of step outside my box when I do the marketing stuff. I realize I have some social anxiety. So I'm attending networking events. I attended one networking event that I think you remember. They tried to get me to sign on just to do their website. And you were like, no, that is called charity and you're not there yet. So understanding my community and how I can and utilize it, and that I have something to say and people want to hear it. And not by not putting myself out there, I'm doing a disservice to myself because no one knows that I'm here. So I think you really helped me get outside that comfort zone, outside of my box. And you told me I can do hard things. And that's what I tell myself when I don't want to do things. I can do hard things.
For the record, my friend, you didn't want to do this interview. Like, I've been trying to get you. You did not want to
do
this interview.
I know this. Yeah. I'm agreeing with that. I ran a mile just so I could be not a total basket case here on a video chat.
You ran a mile to calm your nervous system, or you were running a mile in the other direction, hoping I wouldn't find you and remind you that
all of the above. But
this is the beautiful thing, is that, you know, it's really funny. Because a lot of people will say, oh, you're who I want to be when I grow up. And I'm like, why do you say, first of all, obviously I'm older than a lot of my clients. I get that. But why do you say that? And they tell me, because you're always so confident. You always put yourself out there so consistently. You always do this. And I'm like, okay, that's actually not true. I've gotten way better at things by doing them.
Right.
And that there's no alternative to that. But I still freak out. Yeah. I sent you that Voxer picture, what, yesterday or the day before? Like, oh my God, I can't believe we're doing a video interview and I'm in the middle of a rosacea breakout right now. Take a look at this. Yeah, maybe I should just put a clown nose and a rainbow wig on. So it doesn't ever get any easier, but we can do hard things. And you've been doing a lot of hard things over the last few months.
Yes. And you know what? I fall off the wagon, but I think a lot of the work that we've done together, you've given me an understanding that I have to give myself grace to. I can't be on myself and say that I'm going to do X, Y, and Z. Like I have theme days. I'm trying to chunk my time, but it's a work in progress. I fall off sometimes and then I have to hop back on and keep going, because the farther I get away from that, off that wagon, I'm never going to get back on. So I think the accountability that you offered and that encouragement that, like, it's okay if hard things happen. I mean, I lost my dog / best friend while we were working together. And I think you really helped me realize that I couldn't do anything else. I was grieving for a dog that was basically dying in my arms. And she was just my very best friend and of 14 years, and she stuck with me through it all. So I was going through a lot emotionally. So trying to put myself out there, or, you know, be bold in a way that I couldn't be because I was already emotionally involved in this whole process, I think was a really good and empathetic way that you coached me into saying, just relax and be with her. It's not, you're not going to be able to focus. It's understandable. It's okay. And I think women in our society are so taught from a young age that you have to have your house perfect and you have to have the laundry done and the dinner on the table and you got to have a successful business or whatever, the car, what the picket fence. But I think, and you have to be going, going, going. But I think you taught me that it's okay if you don't. It happens. Get back on there. You know, process.
And you did. And you did. And I think it's, I really, really appreciate the feedback. And I think, Meredith, what I see oftentimes when I compare myself to other business coaches and I hear experiences my clients have had working with other people, I think it's the genius of my therapy background coupled with my business acumen and the fact that I have run several successful businesses, started businesses with a couple of husbands, mine, actually a couple of my own husbands, not at the same time, but
that's probably good.
Yes. I'm pretty sure it's still illegal, but, and although there's a very popular Netflix series about this right now, we won't talk about it. Anyway.
Okay.
I think what I try for, what I strive for, and what you're basically reflecting back for me is that as I'm guiding you through the process of either launching, growing, or streamlining your business, I'm navigating the three things that you need, but don't always need in exactly this order: guidance, support, and accountability. Mm-hmm. The time that you were losing your fur baby, you needed a lot of support and a little guidance. You didn't need accountability. There were other times when we were creating a lot of deliverables where I'm like, okay, I need this sequence from you before our next call. Send me your website copy for your about page, your work with me page, your contact page by this date. Then there was a lot of accountability. And when I got the stuff, then there was guidance for this is why we need to make these changes. But every single one of us, anyone who has a business, doesn't stop being a human being, doesn't stop having responsibilities, doesn't stop having other relationships. And I think for people like us, what I've learned, and I think what you've learned, and you would not have learned this if you hadn't gone through these experiences, is when we walk away from our business completely for a period of time, it's really hard to come back. But if we treat it like a dimmer switch instead of an on-off switch, and we just dial it down and do the minimum just to keep it going, then when the crisis is past, or the vacation, or the parent with a hospitalization, or whatever it is, we can come back and dial it back up. I think that was really important for you because you had several times that you needed to step away and come back. But it's like, okay, what's the minimum you can keep going so that you're not totally hands off? That's when you can literally stop having a business and never go back. Because I see this happen with people. If you go all the way down to zero, it's really hard to start again. We treat it like something in the past, and then we just want to start something new.
Right. And I feel like you helped me create those processes and those systems that I didn't have to worry about stepping away. There was those checks and balances. If someone contacted me, they would be sent an email. They would have the information. We already had all of that stuff basically knocked out and connected. So I didn't have to keep managing it when I really couldn't, and I could step in when I needed to and step away and go back to that automation when I needed to rely on it. So that was really, really good.
I have two questions for you as we're wrapping up. One is, do you now see yourself as an entrepreneur or a business owner? Or, you know, some people don't like the term entrepreneur. So do you see yourself as a business owner? Is it part of your identity at this point in time?
Yes. And I feel like before I would say, hi, I'm a Pilates instructor. But now I say, oh, I'm a marketing person and I'm a web designer and I teach Pilates too. So I feel like I've switched where my focal point. So when people ask me, I say, I design websites, not I teach Pilates, which I think is a big mindset shift for me to make. And even the short time that we work together.
Yes, this is exactly what I was hoping to hear. You've really stepped into it and owned it. And the more you do it, the easier it'll get. The more you repeat that, the easier it'll get.
Correct.
And it eventually just becomes, you know, first nature, not even second nature. So last question is, somebody once gave me this feedback, this advice, and I think it's especially true for neurodivergent, highly creative, gifted entrepreneurs. The hard part is not starting something. The hard part is sustaining it. All you need to be successful in business is to learn to tolerate the monotony of success. I think that applies to anybody who's gifted, who's neurodivergent, who's ADHD, who's highly creative, that we created a lot of things that streamlined and simplified and structured your business so you wouldn't
and
have
automated.
To. And automated. Yeah. So you wouldn't have to have decision fatigue every day. Does that make it boring for you now?
No. Because every project is different. All the requirements are different. I feel like each client that I meet has a puzzle for me to solve. What is their website trying to communicate? And how can we do that effectively? So it's each project excites me. I love creating websites and helping people. I love teaching people how to use them. I love hearing the feedback of how it's helped grow their business. But I think each person that comes to me has a different quote unquote problem or issue with their website that they want me to tackle. And I enjoy finding that solution for them. So no, I'm not bored with it.
Yay. So instead of using your creative problem solving talent to put out fires, which is, I remember asking you, are you a firefighter, bitch? Because that's what you do. You put out fires and you're on the volunteer firefighting force. But now you've simplified.
Not anymore.
No. This was then. That was then. This is now. Now we have structured, simplified, streamlined, and automated your business so you can actually use your creative problem solving potential to improve the look and functionality of their site, not to keep recreating the wheel, because that is one of the biggest challenges I see with so many gifted, creative solopreneurs, is they keep creating new things to satisfy that itch, but then they still don't have a business. That no longer applies to you.
I think I've fallen into the interior design thing, but that's still like a little bit creative and a little visual. I think I've got kind of a knack for it, but that's to be determined. And I agreed not to start a third business. Andy, don't worry. Don't worry.
I was just going to say, please make sure that you are not planning to start a new business. Do I have your word?
Not yet.
Okay. I guess it's.
I'm kidding.
It's only safe to say never say never. But no, because I think you owe it to yourself to see how far you can go. And you will never know that if you hop on the next bandwagon. So decorate your own house, correct, but promise me, as we say goodbye,
yes,
promise me if you do anyone else's home or office design, there will be an invoice attached.
Oh, hell yeah. Hell, you know what? And I know a great web designer for the website.
Boom.
Yeah. Mic drop.
Okay, yeah, my friend.
Yeah,
excellent.
We'll see.
Excellent. Excellent. Okay. Well, we are still in touch on Voxer, and we will continue to send, yes, each other silly gifts. And I, yes, will make sure that the show notes include your website, your opt-in, your Instagram handle, and all the other good things so people can connect with you and maybe even hire you.
Yes. I have a promo code for people who want to hire me to build their website. The promo code is Driven. It saves 25% on all web design. Ooh, yeah. Get a brand new spanking website and I'll teach you how to use it.
Dang, I didn't even know that was coming.
Yep, just save the best for last.
You've been listening to the Driven Woman Podcast with Diane Wingert. Want more straight talk and strategy each week that will take you from spinning to winning? Don't forget to hit subscribe in your podcast player so you won't miss a single episode. Then head on over to the Driven Woman free and private Facebook group community. See you there.